Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'm thrilled for her, and she's wearing her little scrubs today. It was cute. It was adorable. It's like,
this is creepy. You can't call it cute. Come on.
She's wearing her scrubs. She looks cute in her.
This
what's,
is
what's
your
wrong
wife.
With what
this
do you mean? It's like
say
cute.
Say
it's
sexy.
Cute like sexy cute. When I'm 85, I just want her around and still to love me. That's all. But if she wants to, if she wants to have the gardener come up, I'm a realist. I have to be a realist in this sense. With Rob, I've always admired that he loves these concerts. So the point I'm trying to make as it gets back to me is that I was really, really happy. He's like, hey, Carla, I really am capable of feeling joy for other people.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show for a Wednesday. It is delightful
Wednesday.
To have you along. Me and Oscar, Rob on vacation. We'll talk about that hopefully later in the show. Just what he's up to. He's not somebody that is what I would describe as really worldly, although he has traveled abroad.
He's not
abroad.
Cloak and Dagger, though.
He's not Cloak and Dagger. He's pretty
it's
easy
Eastern
to figure
Shore
out.
It's Eastern Shore or Leesburg. Yeah.
And by the way, you have been doing a stellar job this week, sitting in a seat you normally don't sit in, and it gets better every day.
So a broken seat.
I'm yes, his huge broken seat. I want to compliment you on that.
Thank you.
And later on, Pony will have a little brief story for us because there was big news in the world of show business that really this is where your brother and I would be going nuts, and we will save a lot of the discussion for when he gets back because Rob knows the history of Larry King and the Don and Mike show. And
I saw the news.
I
can't
wait. Big show business news today. But you know what? We didn't get to it yesterday, so now it's not all about us, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. It's all about you because it's time for the mailbag.
Write me
I miss the mailbag.
I don't get the sync. I always know there's a little delay from up there to down here, so when I'm playing.
This is what you want. I don't have enough.
All right,
this chair doesn't have enough bounce in it for me to dance in it. We gotta
maybe
work
by
on
the
that.
End of the week you'll.
Well, I gotta get screwdrivers, Mike.
I know. I understand. Oh, why that is like a little kid. You're sitting in an adult's chair. First letter. Hey, Mike. You did a great job interviewing Wayne Newton. I really enjoyed it. That said, I have a personal story about Wayne that shows what a good guy he is. I was at a small Air Force base in Greece in the 1980s, and Wayne put his entire show on for about 50 service people. He went for at least 2 hours at full energy. It was amazing. He talked to everyone after the show, and he was the most gracious entertainer I've ever met. After the show, he bought drinks for everybody at the club and talked to everyone. I couldn't believe how nice he was. From that day on, I've had the utmost respect for him. I'm not a huge fan of that type of music or performance. A lot of people feel that way about Wayne. I did the same thing. I was going out to mock Wayne, and then the show was just...
Like he's a true entertainer.
You walk away, and everybody says jive. Everybody says showbiz schmaltz. And then you walk away from a Wayne Newton show going, all in all, I felt like I was entertained. I was paying attention. And that's what Wayne does. And I know Wayne's known that for his entire career. Everybody knows he's show business schmoozy. Everybody knows he's got those eshes where he's talking like that. Everybody, I've mocked it for years, but I've also seen the guy twice, and I love talking to him. So this guy's raving about Wayne. Says, I do respect the amazing talent of a guy who can play all those instruments and can cover so many genres of music. I've been listening to you since Rob was your intern, and I've loved all of it. Thanks, Dave Crandall. Well, Dave, thanks for sharing that story.
I appreciate I guess, for me, Mike, not just the letter, but from a fan's perspective, and I've never seen Wayne, that interview was It was more than I expected. It was fun. Effing fantastic.
Yeah. And, you know, the guy that's on vacation, if he could get us a few more interviews.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like it. It would be really great if he would.
We don't have to be mean to him, Mike.
Come on. Can be mean to him when I'm talking about getting interviews.
Yeah,
he doesn't.
But he's coming off a win. He's coming off a win.
A listener sends an email to both of us and says, Patton's coming to town, and Rob says, thanks for the heads up. Anyway, hello, our second daughter and your newest listener. That'll be the only time I slam him when he's gone. Love him, love him, love him. Don't want to get the mob mad at me. Anyway, hello, our second daughter and your newest listener, Esther Talia. Turn that music off. Esther Talia Strom was born last Tuesday. That's wonderful.
Congratulations.
3:59 a.m. to Zach and Corinne Strom in Bellevue, Washington. Esther is Hebrew for star, which is exactly what she is to us. That's beautiful. I love
Esther.
That name. Esther. She joins her sister Miriam, who was announced in a previous mailbag,
Miriam.
2017. Welcome, Esther. And that's from Zach Strom.
Congratulations.
Esther and Miriam, who also are friends of mine that live over in Miami. No, I'm just kidding.
Sounds like a sitcom.
Sorry. I can't help myself. Way to go, Esther. And thanks for sharing. We appreciate that. Hey, TMOS Nation, Here's some good news for all the inebriants out there. I used to be one. I can't be one, not with my schedule anymore. The Chernobyl Spirit Company. Didn't know they had one.
This is great.
Is selling an artisan vodka called Atomic.
This is true, I guess.
They made the liquor out of rye grain they planted in the exclusion zone and water from an aquifer in Chernobyl. Jesus. And get this, and I quote, after distilling it and conducting tests, they told BBC that they concluded that their product is no more radioactive than any other vodka.
Oh, no.
I love this letter.
What are the odds?
Thirsty yet? I'm here to help, Tim McLaughlin. That is wonderful. How did I miss that one? Hey, guys. By the grace of the good Lord, I just found out that I will be able to get the time off work, so I was able to scoop up two of the last few TMOS 10th anniversary tickets for Saturday's show. Well, it's great. Paulie sold his, too, so we're looking forward to having a full crowd in there. I didn't think I would be able to make it out, so I'm crapping my pants with excitement. Here's an editor's note. He wrote actually crapping his pant, and it was so charming, I chose not to correct it. Thank you, Rob. thanks, y'all, and I can't wait for Vegas. Alex of Colorado Springs. Another editor's note, Oscar. Alex changes your pant. Change your pant before November.
Okay, please.
Here we go. Thank
please.
You. Oh,
pant.
More music, please.
Pant.
Hello, boys. Happy 31st birthday to my beloved Tara Nunley. Her big day is this Saturday. Her only birthday request is this. Please to explain the origin of FaZe.
Okay, I think
yours
that's,
in Christ,
it's fair.
Brentley. I'm not able to do that. I don't
so,
that.
Rob, one of his, one of his dadisms, that's the best way for me to put it, is dadisms would be like, in your face! And I could be wrong, but this is what I get it from. This is my recall. And what Rob would do is he would go out of his way to, he likes saying what his kids say. Like his kids say, Shaw.
By the
way,
I already think you're getting this wrong. I don't think it's right. But
well, then what
ahead.
Do you think, Mr.
Know-it-all?
I don't
have a theory because I don't care.
Okay, well,
I'm not saying I'm a know-it-all. I'm saying I don't have a theory.
I care, and this
yours
is what
just
I remember.
Yours sounds like you're making it up as you're going on.
Pony Boy, what do you think?
That's what it sounds like to me.
You know, I seem to remember listening to some song that had the word face in it.
Yes.
And then somebody
but he
just
took
went,
the, in your he took your in-your-face-ism that his kids pull, and then he made the face into his songs. That's the origin story.
Really?
Yeah, he replaced the word face in various songs with face.
Well, I know. Hey, dummy, I know he did that.
Now you're insulting Pony.
I know he
What's
did that.
What's going on here?
Of course,
I thought we were team.
I know. You know what? Come on.
Yeah.
I just want the origin, where it originally came
it comes
from.
His it comes from his kids.
Well,
and
you know,
an
when
inside
he comes back Monday, and
he's
been featured way too much for somebody that's gone.
I think it's too much exposure, personally.
I think it's way too much. Yeah. I think when he comes back, we'll talk to him about that. And, you know, I don't like talking about him that much. It builds his ego. He doesn't need more of that. Greetings, TMOSers. A few questions about karaoke. I love the song Mack the Knife by Bobby Darin. I always do it at karaoke, and I do it well. However, it drives my girlfriend crazy because she thinks I'm too young at 43 to do that song. No, you're not. So should there be a range relative to your age that you have to pick from for karaoke? No, that's the joy of karaoke. Mm-hmm. You can sing old fart songs at 25. That's what makes karaoke special. It's really all about the quality of the performance. And hold on a second. I know
if you could actually sing, I don't think how old you are matters, as Mike just said.
You know, I think what it really is just what makes you happy. Let me turn that off and let me put this on, because speaking of Mack the Knife, we happen to have it here. You know, years ago, I think I might have been in my 20s.
That McDonald's commercial?
It was my first marriage, so it was definitely my 20s. Would you like to hear my version?
Please.
Recorded on the boardwalk in Ocean City. Ladies and gentlemen, after a few cocktails, still doing that back then, Mike O'Mara.
Ooh, the shock babe.
Yeah.
Has such teeth, dear.
You know, I think my voice sounds the same way.
It shows them pearly whites.
Yeah, this is it.
Just a jackknife.
You know, this is quality. Teeth,
babe. I thought this letter was talking about the McDonald's commercial, Mack Tonight.
No, it's Mack the Knife, and whether it's appropriate to sing at karaoke.
Back.
So 43 is not too long.
Is this an old man song? I don't think it's an old man song.
Well, it's an old song, Bobby Darin. I'll just play it a little longer. Why? Well, because I have an amazingly inflated ego. Kick it up a few notches, Mike. Play it for the people. Here's Mike O'Mara, ladies and gentlemen.
Now on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Hey. Ooh, sunny morning.
Yeah.
Lies a body.
Pretty good.
Just oozing light.
Why don't we ask? Let's ask Maddie. Maddie, your boyfriend jumps up on karaoke. He's in his mid 20s, and he brings out the Mack the Knife. Is that what?
Excuse me,
name?
Oscar.
Oh, excuse me.
Hey. Here we go.
There's a tugboat.
This is the part.
They're dancing in the control room.
Oh,
they're dancing.
Talked right at my favorite part of it.
I thought you were singing.
You talked right at my favorite.
I'm so
down
sorry.
By the river going slow. That cement is just. It's just for the
Maddie, what do you think?
Well, so this is actually, so my boyfriend's last name is Mack, so I call him John Mack the Knife. Actually, so it's very fitting.
Oh, whoa.
Believe it or not.
Does he sing? This. Does he sing it?
He will sing. I mean, he has the ability to sing. It's not very good, but he'll
not
sing
like
it.
This.
And now Mack, he spends just like.
Hey, you know, we've been talking so much about it. Maybe we're going to get to the end of it. Because I'll tell you. It's an amazing finish. Mike O'Mara, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, baby. Big finish coming up here, ladies and gentlemen. And Miss Lucy Brown. Oh, boy.
Lucy Brown.
All right, here we go. This part's rough. Listen to this. Want to hear a man sustain? Oh, no. Oh, one more. Sorry. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh, hey. Snooky Tawdry.
Hey. More, Mike. Don't talk, Oscar.
Hey. And old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Mackie.
Mike O'Mara.
Back in town. Look out, old Mackie is back, yeah.
Yeah, oh, that was weak. For several moments, I ran out of gas there.
Mack the Knife is the name?
Mack the Knife by Bobby Darin. It was, you know, absolutely wonderful. And anyway, do you have a go-to at karaoke? Do you do karaoke? Todd and I do, but
like,
you,
I
don't remember
I did karaoke for our road trip,
right.
But I'm not a radio. I know I can't sing, so I'm not a big karaoke guy.
So you don't really like to do it?
No, but I'll do it. If everybody's doing it, I'm not going to say I'm staying in the hotel room. I'll go out and sing.
Remember that really sweaty night we had?
In Cleveland.
No, but also with Todd Moore and Marissa and you and your
lady. Oh, we were
lady.
In Clarendon.
Clarendon. It was so hot.
So
they didn't
fun.
Have any air conditioning. It was a hot night, and we were all drinking
Bar
and getting up and singing.
Jammed.
It was rocking. It was fun. Anyway, that comes from Matt Bazinet, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Thank you very much for our Canadian friends.
Sing it.
We appreciate that. Next letter. We have our last letter here. No, we don't. No, we don't. The second to last, the penultimate. Hey, buddy, I heard that you don't like birds. Well, my wife and I have... this is a message for Rob. Yeah, Rob doesn't... One of his weirdisms, he doesn't like birds. Well, my wife and I have had big birds for years, and I just wanted to tell you how smart these critters are. We have a sulfur-crested cockatoo. Well, that sounds like something you pick up at American University in the 80s.
That's
and a mini green-wing macaw, and they're only a couple of years old, but it's like having two toddlers in the house. They're into everything, and they are very intelligent, opening cabinets, pulling out Tupperware, and talking up a storm. I love birds. See, I don't hate birds. I love. You can train them to do fun tricks, and they can be very loving. Don't criticize what you don't know, Rob. Rob seems to be. He's got his footprint all over this today. Get a small parrot and see how much love you can get from such a little heart. Let me know if you'd like any pics or video. That's okay. From the little guys. Have a great day. Your friend, Dennis Guevara. And of course, there's an editor's note.
I bet there is.
That literally sounds like a nightmare. Keep the birds away from my Tupperware. Nobody needs love that bad. Oh, and please make sure that you don't let them peck your eyes out. And I hold in my hand the last letter. Olivia Loneman writes, "Hello, gentlemen. I just woke up from a long night's dream about Wayne Newton." That's it. That's all. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes, Wayne Newton in the mailbag today. And hey, guess what, Oscar?
Yes.
We can start the show. Yay!
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Well, Jake, you look just fine down there, slithering in the mud like vermin.
No problem.
I stood at the back of a cathedral, waiting in celibacy for you, with 300 friends and relatives in attendance. My uncle hired the best Romanian caterers in the state. To obtain the 7 limousines for the wedding party, my father used up his last favors with Mad Pete Trullo. So for me, for my mother, my grandmother, my father, my uncle, and for the common good, I must now kill you. And your brother.
Oh, please don't kill us. Please, please don't kill us. You know I love you, baby. I wouldn't leave you. It wasn't my fault. I ran out of gas. I had a flat tire. I didn't have enough money for cab fare. My tux didn't come back from the cleaners. An old friend came in from out of town. Someone stole my car. There was an earthquake. A terrible flood. Locust. It wasn't my fault. I swear to God.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey! The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMOS to our friends, is a worldwide podcast and radio show with a family of listeners who are unrivaled in their love and support of the program. If you're a newbie, welcome, enjoy. We hope you become a lifer. And for those of you who have supported and supported and supported, we'll see you in Vegas and we'll catch you on the bonus show. We love you people. Thank you very much. From Long Pond, Pennsylvania to Winterset, Iowa, from Alexandria Bay, New York to Bellevue, Washington, from Vallo, Germany to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Noom. Getting in shape isn't just about losing weight. It's about changing habits and feeling better about yourself in every way. That's why I love Noom. Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps you to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom knows you're human. No food is good, bad, or off limits. If you go off track, there's no shaming, just tips to help you get back on track tomorrow. And thanks to your goal specialist and the Noom community, you're never alone. My favorite part is that Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. It has literally everything at a glance. Food tracking made easy. Oscar loves it. Carla loves it. Carla's never looked better, and she uses so many Noom strategies. It's truly amazing. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That's Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS the last weight loss program you will ever need. Yes, so he's been featured on the show today. And the reason that I mentioned that I'd love to have Rob in today is because we would be talking about the Larry King thing, like There Is No Tomorrow. I've got it in news you may not need, but I'll give you the general story, is that after 22 years of marriage, after 22 years of marriage, Larry King and Sean Southwick King are getting divorced. And I was talking to Pony about it before the show, and I was saying, I wonder what the record for celebrity divorce numbers is. I wonder exactly who is the oldest celebrity. Larry is 85 years old.
I did not know he was that old. Damn.
This is his eighth marriage, but seven if you count the fact that he married another wife twice. So I'm not sure exactly what that is. But the story behind the scenes, we'll have it again in news you may not need, is that there's some legal dispute with the kids, the boys, Chance Armstrong King, and Cannon King. I wonder exactly what's going on with that. Larry King has been a part of my show forever. Back when we were doing the old morning show with Don, I would come in and drive in the morning, and we would listen exclusively to Larry's radio show on the Mutual Radio Network overnight. Larry, on an April Fool's Day, I believe it was, Alan Goodman, our old general manager, brought Larry in as a surprise guest for us, and it was hysterically funny early in the morning because Larry was getting off and he was coming in. The day after Larry was on our show, he had a heart attack, which is God's honest truth. And so Larry, I've known about Larry. But the one thing about Larry is that, you know, you can hear Larry when he's talking and when he's interviewed, and he's got that kind of, you know, the guy's a bit, he's got a pretty decent sized prick factor.
Oh, he's and the guy started a show called Breakfast with Larry, right. And he touted, look, the man's got more success than I'll ever see in my life, but
right. We
chronicled here on the show, we're like, okay, if you're going to start a show that's awesome, Breakfast with Larry, you're going to have Shaquille O'Neal, you're going to have LeBron James.
You're on CNN for a million
years. No, he had some self-help author on.
Yeah, guys
first show,
that do like, yes talks. You know,
like,
I mean, that's it.
Come on.
Right. It's just
it won't
Larry
stop working.
Being Larry.
Well, his marriages probably don't help as well.
Well, I got so many theories about Larry. I'm wondering whether she may have gotten into that relationship because of the moolah. I'm wondering whether that
I
was the
I would say
case.
That that's... It's, I think you're a better person to make that observation. It's easy for somebody to just look from the outside, and you've been married three times, right?
Yeah, so I've been married three times, and I wonder if with Larry, the spin that sounds like it's coming out is that the boys were worried about that she was trying to get the money out of their inheritance and that they urged him to get out. Look, once you're... I say to this day, and remember, I'm saying this, and if it gives my wife some comfort, fine. She might as well take a grenade and put it in the car and blow me up if she wants to end this marriage, because the fact is that I will not do it again. I will not go to number four. I can't do that. This is my last time at the rodeo. I cannot do it. The idea, the concept of a man who is 5 to 10 years max away from casket land stuns me that he's still going through this marital strife. And it also, you know, it says to me, 22 years and he's 85. I wonder if Shannon Southwick Green, do you think he was difficult at 75? I do. The problems that were there. There have been allegations of cheating with Larry
the
King
soccer
for
coach.
Years and years. The, you
remember that?
The
I remember that.
Coach. I remember
it's like
that.
A swarthy Latin guy, you know, coming over to teach the kids. Taught her a thing or two, apparently.
Larry. Pony, you have a story about Larry King.
My mom called me yesterday about the divorce. This is how, this is big news.
Oh, my
news.
God. Oh, Mrs. Zabalios.
Yeah, she called me. She guilt-tripped me about not caring about the family, as usual.
Perhaps tomorrow's show, we could arrange for Larry to, we're asking Larry about the divorce and women, and he could
100%, because my mom... did the thing where, and we've all had this happen, especially in this celebrity world, and I would say the business of show, Mike, where someone calls you because they think you have more information than they do. So there's a pleasantry that's exchanged, and then the pleasantry is gone, and they're like, hey, what do you know about this? So my mom called me with a guilt about not seeing her since I just saw her in Boston, so that didn't make any sense. I said, Mom, what's up? She goes, escuché que el señor Larry está yendo through un nuevo divorce. se está divorciando. And I was like, what? And she's like, sí, el señor Larry con su esposa. ¿Qué va a hacer? Es, ya es un viejo. And now she's saying, he's an old man. Like, what is he going to do now? Like, we're friends with Larry. You're talking to Mike O'Mara, old lady. We're not friends with Larry.
Hey, do you think there's, by the way, he filed.
Yes.
He filed.
Primer Impacto had everything.
I cannot believe that he filed. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Tony, tell your story about Larry. What happened? Larry almost came to blows with a person in your family?
Well, yeah. My best friend's dad, he grew up in Colorado. He was a rodeo rider. I mean, he didn't take S from anybody. Mm. And
last name Baskets?
Yes.
Mm.
And
sorry.
Anyhow, one day he was at, I think he was at International, DC International Airport, and he was getting ready to fly out somewhere, and Larry...
Chip Basket. Okay, thank you.
So Larry cuts in front of him in line to board, and my friend's dad, again, doesn't take anything from anybody. He says, excuse me, you just cut in front of me. Yeah. And Larry turns around and says, do you know who I am?
Oh, God, and, Larry, come on.
He did the whole, And my buddy's dad was seconds away from slugging Larry in the face when one of the flight attendants came up and just like kind of brought him over to the side.
Give
him Larry, treatment. Let's help you, Larry.
What a douche.
Let's help it.
Yeah, douche canoe.
5:40 p.m. Pacific time. So that's last night.
Mm-hmm.
A source who spoke with, this is from TMZ.
TMZ.
A source who spoke with Sean this afternoon says she was blindsided by the divorce. She found out by getting a call from TMZ. As for Larry's allegations, the source says the last time Larry was in the hospital, doctors said he might. This is, I guess, Sean. This is going to be ugly. Or
this
is not. You're 85. You're not supposed to be in an ugly situation. As for Larry's allegations about her taking money and not giving the kids their inheritance, the source says the last time Larry was in the hospital, doctors said he might only have 3 days to live. The source says their estate planning lawyer had told them they needed to update their documents, something they had mutually agreed to do. And that's what Sean presented to Larry recently when he was ill.
I mean,
I'm sorry. This is really not cool.
Do you mind signing this while you have IVs in you? I mean, it's something out of a movie, right? Out of like a comedy, like a dark comedy.
But he's 3 days to live. Larry, sign this before you go, please. Okay, hold on. It goes on.
Okay, please.
The source said they're safely needed to update the docs. She strongly denies doing anything that would compromise the inheritance of their two sons. We're told Sean is devastated. The news comes 2 weeks before their their 22nd wedding anniversary. Larry's divorce documents obtained by TMZ list the date of separation as June 6th, 2019. That's interesting because TMZ has video of Sean the very next day at LAX. She talked about Larry's recovery. Well, they showed her at LAX from the heart attack and didn't let on at all about any trouble in paradise.
Where was she going?
This is great. Get TMZ, you know, when you need. Most of the time, TMZ has rappers that I have no idea who they are because they're doing bad things. But this is, you know, a real celebrity. Sources connected by the couple tell TMZ they've been having marital trouble for 7 years now. Larry has accused Sean of infidelity. Remember that one? We're told that has created tension for a while now. But the breaking point was when Larry was in the hospital a couple of months ago. And she presented him with documents that have given her certain right to their property that would adversely affect the couple's two sons.
Mm.
We're told they felt, this sounds like spin from Larry,
yes.
But you know what? You're 85, you file for divorce, you're pissed. You know, you're 85, I don't care who you are, you want to be taken care of. We're told they felt she was trying to screw them out of their inheritance. We're told the boys went to Larry and told him they were outraged by their mother's conduct, presenting the documents and pled with him to get out of the marriage. We're told he followed their advice.
Okay, how
who knows?
Terrible a person do you have to be when your spawn, your offspring, turn on you?
Right.
Like, that's how terrible a person you have to be.
Well, here's the thing. This is so many. There's so many possibilities here.
This is like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I don't doubt. You know, who knows? This is a man. You know, when I'm 85, how old's Carla going to be? Carla's going to be 31 when I'm 85. No, I'm kidding. When I'm 85, Carla will be
late 40s.
In her 50s. She will not be. No, it's a 21. When I'm 85, Carla will be 50 in her 50s, a vital, lovely woman. And when I'm 85, I just want her around and still to love me. That's all. But if she wants to, you know, if she wants to have the gardener come up, you know, I'm a realist. I have to be a realist in this sense. But I don't want to fight over inheritance and all that crap. No, I don't want to do that.
The dynamics are different, though, Mike. Like,
She married me after I got fired.
After you got fired, right?
That's the key element to. And by the way, because Carla endured a lot of that crap,
and she still does. Think about
dating,
it.
And she still probably takes a lot of crap.
Yeah.
But you know, she's going out.
Is your father coming out today? Poor lady.
Yeah, she's going back to school. She's gonna be a facial person. That's what she's.
Did you get a scholarship?
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled for her, and she's wearing her little scrubs today. It was cute. It was adorable. It's like,
this is creepy. You can't call it cute. Come on.
She's wearing her scrubs. She looks cute in her.
What's wrong with
that? What do you mean? It's like cute. Say sexy. It's cute like sexy cute.
Gross.
What? Why is that gross to you?
Oh, gross. I don't
she's
know.
Wearing white. Stop it. Don't play. You play that too much. What do you snap? What's gross about that?
Okay. You call.
That I'm an old man?
No, you call your daughter's. Cute. Your son cute.
Sexy cute.
You didn't say sexy cute. You said,
I didn't mean she looked cute like a little kid.
With her backpack on.
No, I didn't mean it that way. I meant sexy.
To class.
I meant sexy. She wears the same thing you'd see in some of the world's finest salons.
The world's finest salons.
Right, right. By the way, you know, I don't know what the rules are in Las Vegas, but, you know, she's going to have her license when we go to Vegas.
Oh, there we go.
She will be a graduate when we go to Vegas. So, you know, it's all about the bottom line, people. You know, that's right. Dirk, now, you want a facial? It's going to cost you $3,000. It's going to cost you $3,000, Dirk.
Wrong choice of words. Skin treatment probably better. Let's figure that out. Because Doug would pay $3,000 handedly. Come on.
No, but you know, but here, getting back to the original thing with Larry, Oscar.
Yes.
I'm saying you're 85 and I look, this is where and you I welcome your theory because you're good at this.
Okay.
At 85, don't you think that like things like she goes out with the girls and she gets a little
hammered. Maybe
side
she doesn't come home.
The
who knows?
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. He's 85. But if she gets into the finances like that, then and the sons are involved, maybe that would be. There seems to be a little credibility with Larry filing, right?
If you put it that way,
yeah.
And again, I don't know if I'd be okay with you know, but I don't have this like crazy gap of years. So you know, to each their own. But I'll say this.
If he's screwing the kids, if what he says is true, that I could see happening. I could see that happening. I couldn't see, you know, that's the allegation. It's too.
It's the calculation. What's the word I'm looking for? It's calculated. It is too calculated that he is on the brink of what may be his last throes of life.
Right.
And for some, let's all put ourselves in that position for a second here. Someone that we've already had kind of like questions about their moral compass, which is alleged. Comes to you and instead of like holding you and being with you with the family, making sure the kids are okay and like we're gonna be okay,
brings
like,
hey, the documents to the hospital.
What about this fresh set of printouts? Let's make sure everything's a-okay before you go.
So you agree with me?
I agree.
There's credibility to these allegations.
You can, look,
I could see it
you
happening.
Could, you could put a veneer of it's just a Hollywood marriage,
right?
Personally, I would imagine you're like mm-hmm. you know she's much so much younger, whatever. But when someone slaps you in the face of the reality of what this marriage is about.
Right.
And maybe you've been in denial because you're the king and you're like, oh, it's never been about money. It's always been about, you know,
yep.
I got the sex appeal. I've been married 7 years.
That's why I like your take on these things.
I've been seven times. I've been married 9 years. I can't, you know, I don't care what people say. Like, this is just a different type of Hollywood marriage. And then boom, in your throes of failing health, it's sign here, please. That right. slap in the face may not just hurt him emotionally, but his ego.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think so. There, on that count, too,
yeah.
When he was younger, 22 years ago, it was just like, oh, she loves me for me because I'm still, you know, feeling like I'm a vital guy. Yeah. Although, you know, I'm 60. I don't feel vital anymore. You
I'm
know,
41. Really I'm not vital.
Yeah, I don't feel vital.
My poor wife.
But now you're yeah. sitting there going, and the reality, stressed. Especially if it comes from the sons, who it sounds like that there might be a decent relationship with. You know, Larry's thing, he's eating ice cream sundaes at the Dodgers game behind home plate. You know, Larry's not looking to, you know, to,
and
I don't
think. And he's not eating ice cream like, hey, I hope nobody sees me eating ice cream. It's like, right. Oh, like an old man eating ice cream.
Like an old man, he doesn't give a, I'm Larry King, yum, 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 yum. I don't care. But, well, you know what, maybe tomorrow on the show, maybe Please. Your mom can figure it out.
And well, she would love to talk to Larry because she knows a thing or two about marriages and yeah. living in two different countries.
And of course, that can be the entrees that we're interviewing about the divorce. That would be well. So you want to stay tuned for that one, ladies and gentlemen. That's awesome. Thank you very much. Is your cord working?
My cord is working.
It's working. That's wonderful. It is very, working. Very exciting. When we come back, speaking of self confidence, I got a haircut yesterday, and I walked out of the salon feeling like less of a man. I'll tell you all about that when I come back. I am such a wimp. We'll be right back.
Time now for a taste of the good life with Dirk Vastrick.
People often ask me about the best way to unwind. I say with a drink, of course. Nothing satisfies like an O'Mara Irish Manhattan. Add a couple of ice cubes to a tumbler and fill it with Irish whiskey. And add a splash of Luxardo liqueur. And a splash of vermouth. Garnish with a Luxardo cherry and enjoy. Now kick back, relax, and enjoy while listening to The Mike O'Mara Show on the TMOS app. Cheers, Carla.
I always relax with an Irish Manhattan along with the TMOS app. Man, that's living. Back to you, Mike.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show.
$3,000.
That's right, Dirk. And that not that guy, though. I don't want him anywhere near him. This portion of the program brought to you by Cornerstone First Financial. Ahoy! Listen to these important words from Cornerstone. Right now, the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage is at its lowest since November 2016. It'll likely drop even lower as bond yields continue to fall. The recent drop also means that 8.2 million 30-year mortgage holders could likely qualify for a refi and save at least 0.75% off their current interest rate. You see, concerns over a trade war with China sent investors rushing to the relative safety of the bond market. This, along with other likely Fed rate drops coming in September, has rates at levels we haven't seen in a long time. Plus, Cornerstone offers free rate float downs. So if rates get better, your rate gets better. Ta-da! So call Cornerstone today because the time to act is now. Cornerstone, licensed in California, Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Georgia, Florida, and Colorado. Click their banner on our website. Visit cornerstonefirst.com or call them 866-625-1221. That's 866-625-1221. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing.
Mike, may I say something real quick?
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm really enjoying our time together.
Thank you very much.
I just figured sometimes you got to say something positive, you know?
Well,
I was feeling the moment. I was like,
you know what?
It was fun.
Let me give this back to you. And this is, in a roundabout way, what I'm going to say now is going to be self-serving. All right? So this is going to be a big circle, and I'm going to say this, but it's going to come back to me because I learned something about myself that I'm going to say something I don't normally say a lot of, something positive about me. And then we'll get to the story
yes.
about how it's not positive about me and that I don't fit the mold.
Alan's.
All right, here goes. The job that I do, hosting a radio program with Rob and Oscar every day, I learned something both last week and this week. We've been doing live shows. Oscar was off for a week. I was off for a week and a half. Rob is off this week. Both of you guys within a week's period have shared with me stories about your lives. And both of them have been very lengthy and very compelling. And Rob was talking about Ringo Starr. When he started talking about it, I said, there's no way I'm going to listen to a guy, I think it was on the bonus show, talk about the Ringo concert and not mock him immediately. And he was so good about describing this concert and how much fun he had and how the details. And we ended up just sitting there for the bulk of an hour talking about this concert. And I was enthralled by it. And his joy was contagious. Mm-hmm. And I was happy about it. flash forward to yesterday on the show, you talk about going up to Kenny Bunkport and spending an afternoon with the Bush family. And once again, I'm sitting there. I'm enthralled once again. And I said to my wife last night, I said, you know, totally different experiences, but both these guys very skillful at storytelling and sharing their experiences. And both times I realized that I always like to say that I'm capable of feeling happiness and joy for other people because how do I dance around this? Because early in my career, I was not necessarily the recipient of that kind of joy, which means when I would share something that was very important to me and very special, and obviously a moment, I did not feel like it was that there was anybody who was sharing in that. Well, the answer to that is on both counts, the Ringo and the George Bush. I was sharing in that, and I think maybe because of that to a certain degree, the listeners were getting the vibe out of that as well.
Agreed.
And I looked at myself and I said, okay, I think I got a little of my old man in me where I'm enjoying that just about as much as anything that I do. And I think that's why we may all have been hanging around for the better part of a decade.
We celebrate each other's.
Because you get that. You can't fake that. You can't fake that. That I'm sitting there last night. I'm on now. In your case, it's. No, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to say it reflects well on the show. No, it was your thing, and I go and I'm doing a deep dive, and I'm looking at all these old pictures of Bush on the lawn and on his boat, and I realize he's gone through several incarnations of these wonderful speedboats that he's got, and I'm thinking about you going into the harbor and having a lobster roll with the Bush family and how they've endeared you, and I'm saying to Carla, well, I can see why they want Oscar to be around because that's it. Oscar knows the room. You've always known the room. You always know how to handle yourself in whatever situation, and I've reaped the benefits of that. And with Rob, I've always admired that he loves these concerts. So the point I'm trying to make as it gets back to me is that I was really, really happy. It's like, hey, Carla, I really am capable of feeling joy for other people. That's exactly.
Yes.
That's what I said with that. Because I was really happy about that. Yeah.
I'm human.
But I must say, I must say this, that then I get back to the things that I really. So that's a revelation because sometimes I care for you guys on that level that I enjoyed it so much. I think that might have more to do with it. If somebody's a real hump and wants to share something special that happened to them, no, that's not true. I feel joy for some of the guys that that go on a great trip and they want to share it. And that's I mean, even if I think the person's a bit of a hump,
well,
I'm okay. So I'm capable.
May I just share this? That yeah. I think that your traditional world of broadcasting and this hyper competitiveness,
right,
can create an atmosphere of toxicity at times where you do not celebrate each other's accomplishments.
Right.
Or I look this at this experience that I had last week as a collective win for our entire family. Podcast Village, the Michael Mara Show. And the idea that I could speak openly about that type of project and not feel like I'm going to be mocked and real questions will be asked. And I'm comfortable enough to say, okay, this is what happened. If you can give me a moment, which you did more than a moment, so I appreciate that. But I want to share this because for me, it's not just personal for me, but the idea that if I'm on the other side and I'm able to listen to someone's experience like that, like people don't talk about that. You don't get to hear about that anymore.
And if we're doing the big psychological dive here, I have to say, I knew you were being that they were going along with you talking about that as a favor to you. And I knew that part of the deal in you dying based on your DNA of being a broadcaster to want to come in and talk about it, but also within the parameters of me not getting hacky shticky to make it irreverent and maybe embarrass you and the family. I was not about that. I was about just what it would be, and you conveyed it that way, of what it would be. There's a funny, funny meme.
I saw it.
On
I
last
saw it
night
in the fan club.
I unhinged my jaw when you see all the presidents in the back of the boat, and then it's like you with your head photoshopped. But it was cool. It was cool. And then, you know, as much as I feel that happiness, and I slept well on that last night, I didn't sleep well about my haircut experience. Because I walk in, and I'm 60 effing years old, okay? And I go in, and I walk into this barbershop shortly after the show, and it's packed on a Tuesday at noon. It's like, excuse me, is this the land of, oh, sorry, didn't realize we were on the Walking Dead schedule today. Sorry about that. I'll come back later. And I run out, and I do it. And later in the afternoon, I come back. And when I walk in, the place is empty. Mm. But, of course, there's one guy that looks like he literally got plucked off the set of Duck Dynasty. That I'm like, you know, I felt like saying, you're going to need some garden shears to get through that hair. And there's one barber. But I'm waiting because I've got time and I figure they'll get to it. So right about the time he is wrapping up with this other guy, this white-haired barber comes into my barber shop. And he's not the guy I use, but I know he's been there 1,000 years. And he comes in with this, meh, meh, you? Yeah, but kind of points at me and goes, you? And, suddenly the 60-year-old, I turn into an 11-year-old. I go, yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll get in your chair.
I am
immediately intimidated. I am uncomfortable. I'm 60 years old. Now I'm talking the talk where, you know, well, my wife wants me to. And so I say, I even use a different voice. My wife wants me to buzz it on the sides and keep it long on the top. I think she wants to give me a haircut that's like a longer, you know, a young guy's haircut, even though I'm 60 years old. But that's what she wants. But it's what I wanted to.
Weird.
All right.
Weird.
It's what I wanted to. And what? And like in a sentence, he goes, and he said, I mean, like, what? She wants short on the, really like buzzed on the set. Yeah, you don't want it buzzed. And I'm like, oh, and suddenly my testicles are sucked back into my body. And I'm going, I'm just completely being taken. My initiative is being taken away from me. He's like, all right, well, and then he looks at the hair, and I've had this done before. He's like, well, who cut this last? And he's got this kind of, this guy. And I'm in his chair, and I'm not going to go F off because I've been to this barber shop before. And he basically tells me he's going to cut my hair the way he wants to. And I'm looking at my hair, and my hair looks exactly like it did when I walked in there. That's what it, and that's probably a good barber. A lot of hair. He cut off a lot of hair. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there going, I wanted to have the hot cut as far, and I'm not talking about looking hot. I'm talking about buzzing on the sides, a little up on top because it's summertime, and that'll be easier for maintenance. And I still am searching for either in Maine or down here, the Uber barber. And I walked out of that barber chair going, thank you very much. How much? And he charged more than my regular guy does. I remembered that too. And I was completely emasculated in this barber chair by a guy that's just going, and he's one of those guys where he looks at you when he wants to stop. He stops cutting your hair when he wants to make a point.
Hairy eyebrow.
It's just like, you know. And so this kid comes in, these two kids come in. This guy is such a curmudgeon. And he said, young barber at the far end says, okay, what do you want? And he, under his breath, he goes, they don't know what they want.
Oh,
they don't know. They don't know what they want. And I was just,
he's
a hater. He's a hater. And, but he's old. I mean, he's older. He's like, he's younger than Larry King, but he's older than everybody else. So that's what it was. And I walked out and I look at my hair and I'm like, okay, it's about on a scale of 10 with haircuts, with 10 being the best, I'm looking at, I got about a 4. Of a haircut.
What?
And under normal, if I'd been sitting there with a younger barber, man or woman, I would have gone, no, this is not what I wanted. I would probably, no, I wouldn't. I'm totally intimidated.
I think the idea that you have to, I guess, and I think you caught yourself. You're like, I don't have to say my wife wants this. Just say, I want.
Right.
I want, right?
I want a
barber,
Dodge Challenger.
Maybe your barber should take a page out of the Black Barber Shop where they have numbers. And you're like, right. I want a number 4.
You mean like the clippers? The clippers, like number 1, number 2?
Yeah, but they can use clippers or they can use scissors. They'll ask you that at different places. Like, yeah, do you want clippers or scissors?
I know. But, I don't know what I'm going to do.
But my Black Barber Shop has 36 different haircuts. And you just point at the number and say, I would like that.
Oh, now, really?
Yes.
I'd love that.
Right?
I would
love that. Yeah, well, I'll take 22. Yes. 22 looks good. 22 looks like a Latin gentleman. That might fit me. We'll work that out. Now, contrary to that,
My Rob has the same thing. He just looks at a Superman poster.
My go-to
with Lex Luthor.
My go-to poster and my go-to barber is on vacation. So I had to go find a new haircut place. And of course, I live in the worst area in town to get a haircut that costs less than $40.
Right.
So expensive. I call a place like a room. I call the Georgetown Barber. I call and I say, I'm literally, I have like an hour. Do you have time? Can I walk in? It's not complicated, please. Right before I leave for Boston. And like, of course, when you Google Georgetown Barber, they give you a barbershop in Georgetown, Texas. As I went to the place where I thought the barbershop was, and I was like, hey, I'm here.
There are other Georgetowns out there. There are other Georgetowns.
My myopic view of the world.
You are a rube. But yes. At least you don't have to point at a picture of Lex Luthor to get your haircut. So anyway, it sucks. We'll take a break. And, you know, my behavior wasn't bad. I just went along with it. There
yeah,
was
but
a
you got to take
the,
it. You got to take it.
There's a lady who didn't go along with it, but I'll share that little tale when I come back on the Mike O'Meara Show.
The Yak Shack line is ringing. The Yak Shack line is ringing.
It's time to cheer. The Yak Shack's here. So call up when you're full of beer. We're all in store for fun rapport. Call 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-MORE.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. When was the last time you really got a great night's sleep? It's been a while. If it's been a long time, you probably need a new mattress. If you aren't getting the quality sleep you deserve, may I recommend my bed, the Sleep Number bed. Right now at Sleep Number stores, it's the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale, and queen mattresses start at only $8.99. Do you wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side, so it's just the right firmness for both of you. Plus, the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movement and automatically adjusts, so you're effortlessly comfortable all night long. Will you love it? Just ask J.D. Power. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. My Sleep Number is a, right now it's an 85. I was going to say 90. No, it's an 85 last night. Carla's always a 65. Perfect body weight. Never changes anything. Not like me. Up, down, all around. Firm, firm, all the way. There we go. There we go. Thank you very much. We love them. We love our Sleep Number. We always have. Come in during the biggest sale of the year for a limited time. Save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest to you at sleepnumber.com/TMOS. And when you go, tell them that Mike O'Meara sent you every body. Anyway, do you watch that show Mindhunter on Netflix?
My God. Mindhunter is, I can take a lot of different shows.
Right.
But my wife is obsessed with this show. And I'll watch it with her. I think it's a good show.
I think it is the probably the best offering now on Netflix, and I base that on
that's high praise. Man.
The binge worthiness of it. And when you're binging a show, you time and if you love a show passionately, the greatest binge show of ever was Breaking Bad. That's what I measure everything by. The binge worthiness, if you're not familiar with the term, would be the ability to change how time feels. For example, on Mindhunter, the second episode of season number two on Mindhunter, I said to myself, so why is that show only a half an hour? I said that to my wife. I said, why is that only a half an hour? She said, no, it's an hour long show. I said, no, it's not. The magic of Mindhunter is weaving the fictional narrative with the reality of real multiple bad guys like Charles Manson
it's rooted
Son of Sam.
It's rooted in history. So you're right.
It's history of these horrible serial murderers.
So you're like, that alone is I guess different than these fictionalized, as you mentioned, shows.
Right.
But then you start seeing facts, and in the world of the smartphone, you start looking stuff up while you're watching the show.
Right. Exactly.
I can't believe this happened.
That's it. It's an interactive experience because you look up and go, what did that guy really do that? And then you read the you know, the story. Oh my God.
And you can find photos that are not safe for work and a gruesomeness and crime scene. Oh my God. It is a disaster.
Yeah. The go-to, but the key to that show, Mindhunter, and if you haven't watched it, it's almost an automatic go-to. I recommend that probably more than anything I've ever recommended.
But if you're squirmy and you don't like suspense and you want to get some sleep, start it around 6 p.m.
Yeah, because you will lock doors. There is a, because yes. What they do, here's the, you will lock doors.
There's a gate in front of, like, our we have this old wrought iron gate in our house. And gate, but I mean, it's a storm door that's made out of wrought iron. Shannon, she got into this first season. We would leave it kind of open just in case, like, we had a package delivered. Now it's like, shut. Right. I'm like, look, they're going to get us either way. That's not going to stop anybody. We're good to go.
Sure the car in the driveway is locked, the door is locked. If I could drive around the block, I would. There is this serial killer, Ed Kemper.
I haven't seen this one yet.
And you haven't seen this one?
No, I haven't. I haven't caught every one of them. This is
You've seen this. He's the big tall guy, the big super guy with the mustache, the big goofy guy nerdy.
Okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
That's
okay,
like
okay.
He was in season one.
Terrible
name.
Terrible names. Apologize.
All right, season one and season two.
Yes.
He is absolutely, he's terrifying. He is such a nerd, but this guy, here's the thing about Mindhunter.
Perfect casting.
This is what Mindhunter does. I think that, and I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, send me an email. I'll correct it on the show. I think, Oscar, the FBI agents that are featured on this show are composite characters of real guys. But they interview and they show them on the show deal with real guys like Son of Sam, Ed Kemper, Tex Watson, the Manson murderer guy.
This is a serial killer unsolved mysteries.
It's solved. They just take you through. And this season they deal with the Atlanta murderers, the child murders.
I didn't know
there.
Enough about those murders. I don't know.
No, because it was very, very weird, and it still is weird that he was, I think, convicted for two murders, Wayne Williams, down there in Atlanta. And these were horrible 29, 30 child murders. And they convicted him on two. They're still talking about this case. Nothing. There's a lot unknown about this case.
We watched
it's terrifying.
Mindhunter over the break. And then on the drive home, my wife finds a true crime podcast. It leads to another true crime podcast.
Ever since Serial, I mean, it's like there are 5,000 of them.
So you're driving down 95, trying to stay alive, and I'm like, all right, like what's left in this true crime? Like how many crimes are true? What did they just go down to the public records and start pulling stories out? Probably.
They probably
then
do that.
Then there's a companion podcast to a show on TNT about the Black Dahlia. And I don't want to steal your thunder, but back to this phone where she's like, oh my God, this is an older show, but they had a podcast about this. My wife is, 31, right? She doesn't know who the Black Dahlia is. She just knows the name.
That's the lady whose body was found in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Way back in like the 30s.
Yeah,
right?
Carved
20s
up
or 30s.
In a way like a surgeon removed
her.
Yeah,
very, very scary. Yeah. Very, very horrible. There'd been a lot of stuff written about it.
Never saved. I mean, never solved. Never, like, it's still an open case. But this show, Mindhunter, does something similar, but at such a higher level where you're like, what are the facts? Like, what are the facts? Like, what is real? What is not real? But it's surreal.
Well, I think with Mindhunter, the facts are, they take a little artistic license with the FBI situation, but they don't with the serial killers. And I think that it's brilliant in that they painstakingly cast the bad guys. They painstakingly try to recreate the look, either with makeup or whatever, with the guy that plays Charles Manson in season two. You tell me you're not looking at Charles Manson, and you tell me you're not looking at Son of Sam. It is brilliant. The only problem is I binged this thing so fast. I binged this show the way I eat Krispy Kreme donuts. All right. I can't get them into my mouth fast enough. All right. Especially if they're hot. If they're hot, I can't get them into my mouth faster. And I and this show, all of a sudden it's over, and I'm like, more, more, more. And they left with the BTK killer out in Kansas. Mm-hmm. They left us with that one, and I want more. And he's the creepiest of all. And I'm wanting, it's just like, and then I'm like, okay, is that over? All right, well, lock the doors. Lock the doors right now.
Well, it puts you in a terrible frame of mind.
Oh,
also,
it's terrifying.
You might
absolutely
be sleeping
terrifying
on this, but I could be wrong, and I'm sorry because I was gone last week. Have you seen the season finale? By the way, re-up to 2020 of Animal Kingdom. I just caught it yesterday.
You know what? All I know is I've been reading about Ellen Barkin saying bye-bye, and I know what's going on. I am behind on Animal Kingdom. I am behind on, what's the one with Elizabeth Moss? Why am I blocking on the name of that? Handmaid's Tale. Mm-hmm. Behind on that one. So I got to catch up. So don't tell me anything about the season finale of that. And
the season will fly by. If you're looking for something to fill that void, and maybe instead of locking the door, you'll go out and pick up some sort of weapon.
Whoever recommended Happy Valley, the BBC, we gave it a shot. Not thick enough. Doesn't have the sizzle. Sorry, doesn't have it. And the accent's just a little too thick. The British accent, even with the subtitles, couldn't hang. Couldn't hang for that one. And it didn't have my lady in it. It didn't have my Saran Jones, who Rob someday maybe will get me that interview. I don't know.
I bet you he's listening right now.
That's it. All right, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. We'll flap our gums about something else, and then we'll have a news you may not need at the end of the show today because I didn't do an audio ball. I'm not doing that.
Yes, I love just having conversation.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Well, I know you hate everything we do, but that's all right. We'll come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody,
this is Mike O'Mara. When it became obvious that the United States was facing a different time, I, like many Americans, felt like I needed an outlet for my frustration, a place where I could express myself openly without the burden of censorship for a divided audience. I also knew I needed someone to work with who would provide me with insights and the knowledge of a seasoned political journalist, an individual with an insider's grasp of the political world we live in. Well, the outlet is called Political Persuasions, and the seasoned insider is Mr. Chris Freitz. We host a weekly discussion of all things political that is lively, funny, informative, and sometimes controversial. Join us every week at politicalpersuasions.com and get a different perspective on a moment in history unlike any other.
New one this week. Very excited about that.
I'm going to buy Greenland. I'm going to buy... Oh, you don't want to sell it to me? I'm not going to meet with you.
God. Honest to God, I got to. Oh, do I need one this week? Political Persuasions with Chris Freitz. We'll tape one tomorrow, and you can hear it all weekend. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I don't want to sound like an old man, but modern music just isn't good anymore. There, I said it. It's out there. And to make matters worse, I'm sick of the old stuff, too. So what can I listen to? How about the TMOS bonus show? That's good thinking. It's an unscripted, unrestricted, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS that you can get with just a few simple keystrokes and or mouse clicks. Great one last week with Rob Spiewak talking about Ringo. Check that one out. You'll love it. Just click the banner on our website, and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It is and shall always be your passport to the assport.
Woo!
Please buy the TMOS bonus show. You're going to love it. It's going to be fantastic. Fantastic. I hope you like it. I want to share with everybody, my daughter is not making a feature film. I misspoke. I didn't say it that way. I didn't make it come out that way. She's pursuing her acting career. She's made vast strides.
I think you meant hopefully a film soon is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd call her and put her on the show right now, but she might. Well, let me try. I'm going to try.
Yeah, please.
I never have her on the show.
Why not?
Just
why not?
Give it one little try.
It's 10:08 Eastern Standard Time. You know,
let's see.
Someone in their mid-20s.
I want to
maybe
also,
waking up.
I want to make sure that that she understands. That's FaceTime. I FaceTime my kids. I want to make sure that I'm saying it the way she wants me to say it.
How does
so
she want to say?
We understand. Well, she wants to be careful about what I'm saying. She don't want to share too much with what she's doing. But I'm very, very proud of her.
Yeah. Probably an NDA. Can't talk about stuff.
She's also nocturnal. She's completely and utterly nocturnal.
I think she's going to answer.
No, she never answers. No, my other daughter answers, but she doesn't answer. No, Catherine. Catherine, just wake up once at 9 o'clock in the morning. For the love of God. All right.
I bet you she calls back.
I hope. Well, no, she doesn't. But anyway, she's
pursuing... Why did you have to clarify this movie thing?
Because she's got... All right. I'll dance around. She's got representation now.
Good. That's fantastic.
More than I have. Yeah. More than her father has. Yeah. She has an agent. And so that is kind of the key to the way the whole thing works, the way I understand it, mm-hmm. in the world of
I watch film Barry and TV. On HBO. And, everybody wants Barry, an agent.
Everybody wants that. Well, that's kind of what she, and she was yeah. very excited about that. And so that's where it is.
And they don't take just anybody.
No, they don't. No, and she's very excited about that. I put a headshot of Catherine's on online.
I think
and,
I saw it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, she looks great, and she's got a look, and she's got a look that I think is very, very unique. And look, I've told my daughter about this business of show that be prepared for the worst kind of rejection you're ever going to get in the world. It's Tara, from radio all the way through film acting and stage acting, that's just the way it goes. And she knows that, but it's not preventing her, because she's got tremendous guts, of putting her ass out on the line and really doing what she needs to do. And she will do that, and she will do this as long as she feels like it's viable. Mm-hmm. And then if she decides it's not viable anymore, she won't do it. But and I'm realistic, and she's realistic about the prospects. They're not good for anybody starting out.
Oh,
it's a tremendous
no.
amount
You're
of
following
luck.
Your passion.
Yeah, I read a Michael Caine's biography, autobiography over the vacation. I was reading about him. He's, you know, it's luck. It's being in the right place. It's catching somebody's eye that might be.
How did he break in?
He was starting out and got, who was the guy that saw him? I think John Wayne. He starts with John Wayne. This is, of course, after he's gotten some gigs. And John Wayne's walking through, like, the Beverly Hills Hotel
yeah.
and says, you're going to be a big star, kid. That type of thing, you know, where you get that from people with a look.
That's cool.
And for what she wants to do, as opposed to what I do, the look is extremely important, whether it's casting. And she's, you know, on the acting side of things, she's pursuing what she does and working very hard to get better at what she does and trying to do as many little film projects for students at colleges in New York. She does that type of stuff. She'll do, you know, she's even active with little theater groups mm-hmm. here and there. But right now, the key has been kind of getting the opportunities to audition. And that's the part I was a dummy about, too. I'm like, oh, you go to New York, you walk in, you know, it's like, casting it's like call.
Yeah, you just walk in, Yeah. No. You got to be asked to come.
Be at the stage door at 5:00. We're going to have open auditions for the lead role in the new Broadway play. No, it doesn't really work that. Hold on. She just texted me.
That's exactly how I would picture it.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it's like radio days and you just have like a cattle call of people and you go. And hopefully you have the right voice.
Let me try. Here you go. We'll be there. That's right. Hey, you're part of the chorus line, but our lead lady's gone down sick, and now she's going to be there. All right. All right. I'm gonna audio text her right now.
This is great.
I can't do that. Hold on. I'm gonna put that.
I can text you if you like, Mike.
We tried to call you on the show. I'd love to get you on right now if you are awake. Please let me know that. Thank you. Right there.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Was her texting you, new phone, who dis?
She doesn't know. She knows me. She knows her daddy. But that is a big deal for her, and I want to make sure that I can give you as much of the story as I want. But I guess I said the other day she's making movies. No, she's not making movies yet. She's not there yet. She, you know, she would settle for any kind of commercial. And I watch commercials now on television much differently than I used to, because I watch all these people and I realize there's so many of these actors mm-hmm. out there that are all grabbing for it. And by the way, the voiceover world, which now is, 40,000 auditions every possible thing. And they'll pay him peanuts. That world has changed now. And but my daughter, kudos to her. I got to give her a big shout out because she has an agent and her father doesn't, Woo! Which I think is super special. It's very, very cool. So
I'm happy for you, Mike. I'm happy for her. And it's not easy. And most people, look, I would say the average is a couple years and then they just flame out. She's been going. She's like there. She's in it.
Yeah, she's working as a struggling artist in New York and getting education and working at some of the finest watering holes. And by the way, I tell you where she's working, people, but you know, don't try to go up to New York and see where she's working. She changes like every half hour. She's leaving a different bar. I mean, that's just the way that works too. That's I can't help it, but that's the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. But Catherine, I love you. I hope you're successful, and you'll always be successful in your daddy's heart. You are wonderful at whatever you do. I love you, and Wake up before 9 o'clock some morning. I'd love to hear from you. We'll take a break. Come back with news you may not need.
For your consideration.
Brie, American, Gouda, mild cheddar, camembert, provolone, baby bell, parmesan, mascarpone, burrata, feta, ricotta, Gruyere, Asiago, gorgonzola, Havarti, Monterey Jack, Stilton, Swiss, Fontina, Pecorino Romano, and Buffalo mozzarella.
She didn't name all of the cheeses, but she named enough of the cheeses. She's Madeline Masiello, the queen of cheese, only
queen of cheese.
On the Mike O'Mara Show.
Madeline Masiello. Well, we are delighted to have with us. How are you, Maddie? How's everything going today?
Everything's great.
That's good. I'm glad to
hear
that.
They're laughing. They're enjoying the show in the control room. It's nice to see them. I usually don't get a chance to see them, Mike, because I'm in the corner. But they really dig the show.
They're laughing at stuff we're saying?
Yeah, they dig the show.
For real?
Yeah, they're a good audience. No wonder Rob's here entertaining them all the time.
Cool. Welcome back to the show. TMOS Fruitcake Futures are back, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes!
But ladies and gentlemen. But sadly, some folks just don't understand fruitcake. So in an attempt to explain, I bring you the Mike O'Mara Show Fruitcake Ingredient of the Day. Today, the complicated fruit known as raisins.
Mm.
Raisins are essentially dried grapes, known for their delightful sweet flavor. The TMOS signature fruitcake features three varieties of raisins that are plumped prior to baking by soaking in a custom marinade that results in an ultra-moist, ultra-delicious cake. Here's a fun fact. Most of the women of Loudoun County hate raisins because they all see them as wine that will never get made. Thank you. Go to our website and buy as many as you like. It's MikeOmerishow.com. Click the banner, plus a chance at a golden ticket to D.C. and a platinum ticket to Florida. And every purchase supports TMOS Gary Krimble.
Mm.
That's right. And, you know, as I'm thinking about the way we're going to do these platinum tickets, I'm thinking, hey, perhaps a visit with me in studio, or I'll pay for a nice night out for you. And then you don't have to come by the studio. No, they're going to want to come by the studio.
Yeah, that's the platinum side of it.
Yeah, I get it. Okay.
You know. Plum. Yeah,
file it under things I regret I did.
News.
All right, very good. We talked about it most of the morning. Larry King, his eighth marriage is a bust. Larry made the big mistake with Sean Southwick back in 1997. So this one actually had a little staying power. They have two sons, 19-year-old Cannon and 20-year-old Chance. Larry and Sean split once before in 2010, but they got back together. Things haven't been great over the past few years, with Larry accusing Sean of cheating. But the breaking point was when Larry ended up in the hospital for a heart procedure this past spring.
Mm.
Sources say that Sean tried to make him sign legal documents that he thought would screw their sons out of their inheritance. And it was the kids who convinced Larry to ditch their mom. Question mark, question mark, question mark. We'll see if that's true.
Is it,
I don't know.
Is it Cannon and Cash? What's a?
It's Cannon and Chance.
Okay, Cannon. Chance
Armstrong King.
What?
Cannon, like Manassas Battlefield
could,
King.
Could you give
know.
Us, and I know, I hate to even ask you for an on-demand impression.
But they're 19 and 20, those two.
What do you think the conversation went from Larry to Chance and Cannon about the divorce?
You mean the bitch wants me to not give you your inheritance? Effort. Yeah, I'm filing for divorce. There we are. Yeah. Larry's been married eight times, but only to seven women. He married one woman twice in the 60s. His marriage to Sean was by far the longest, to 22 years. Before that, his previous record was seven. Larry is 85 years old. So we shall see how that rings out, and perhaps a call to Mrs. Abiles. I'll ramp up my Larry impression for tomorrow.
I'll let her know. We'll call her mañana.
For some reason, it seems like internet trolls are especially rough on Pink, and so she's always engaged in some sort of digital beef. Now she has issued a challenge to all the jerks on social media. Try to go a single day without being mean. In an Instagram post, she said, quote, are you aware of this, whether Pink gets a lot of hassle?
Well, Pink engages. If somebody says something that's off color for her or she does not agree with, she would tell them right away what she thinks.
So here's her Instagram post. She says, quote, I would like to propose a worldwide internet challenge to anyone reading this today. Go one day without criticizing someone online. Let's call it the Miss Me with the BS Challenge. If it feels good, hey, why not go 2 days? But let's start with one for the overzealous out there. Hashtag one day at a time. Hashtag only love. Pink's husband, Kerry Hart. Is he famous or is he?
He was an ex-gamer, Mike.
Oh, okay. Kerry Hart added, quote, I think it's a long shot, but I'm optimistic. The nice thing, I've edited out a lot of people.
Have you played? When's the last time you wrote something negative online? You.
Oh, my God. I'd have to go back and look. I'd really have to go back and search. I try to avoid it as much as I can, unless it's like broadcasting. I could look.
I can tell you.
What's the last thing you wrote?
Yesterday.
Negative? What'd you write?
You're an asshole.
to a direct guy?
To a listener, yes.
I mean, okay, so when you said that, as far as responding to people...
And I usually don't engage.
Hey, you're worse than me on this today.
That's what
awesome.
I'm saying. That's why I asked. I said, I can tell you what I'm curious.
Because it would be on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
And let me go back and see. I'm going to go through and see my posts and see if there's anything. Because to be honest with you, I have been on a... It's not a conscious thing. If there's somebody
he talked about weight gain, saying I have like a fat face, right? And I was in the right mood for that, so I called him an a-hole and I said goodbye.
You never do that. You never engage with people.
Well, you grabbed
like
me
that.
At the right time, and I was coming back from a long road trip to a site check for a broadcast. So I was like, don't have time for this in my life.
I'll tell you something.
Have a nice life.
I have been. I haven't been engaging at all. I'm trying to think. My last post was a long time ago. Showbiz legend coming soon. Talking about Wayne Newton. Let me see.
Interesting back and forth with this gentleman, as soon as I wrote that, because I don't respond to these things usually. He was like, come on, man. Rob says so many things that are worse. And then he's like, all right. Well, I hope your eye feels better. So he like completely diffused him because it wasn't really about, he was just doing the shtick that you hear on the air.
Would you like to see my last post?
Yes,
August 12th?
Yeah.
Good morning, teachers. What is the best thing to tell my kindergartner on the first day of school that will be good for his teacher? Oh. That's how cool I am.
Yeah,
that's how special I am, you know?
What about a comment? What's your last comment?
The last thing I wrote that was a controversy was that I reposted a very controversial comment from Rainn Wilson. The Dwight Schrute from The Office about Jesus and right wingers and guns and all
what
that.
What date was
and
that?
It was really, that would have been on August 8th.
Oh, you do?
And I got 180 likes on that 26 comment.
Yeah.
I thought, and then, hey, you know what? I should have responded to Christian Calendar. I thought the libs hated the mere mention of Jesus. Now you want people to be more like him? Make up your minds already. Hey, Christian, make up your mind to touch my Irish bag. Okay, what do you think about that, you hump douche? There, thank you. I'm glad we went down that. You know what? I haven't been mean enough. I have not been mean enough lately. I'll get working on that tonight, Oscar. I'll come in with 8 or 9 of them tomorrow. I promise you, I will do that. In a 1996 episode, Phoebe is talking about how Ross is Rachel's lobster because, quote, it's a known fact that lobsters fall in love and mate for life. You can actually see old lobster couples walking around their tank holding claws. That's Phoebe.
I remember that episode.
That's not a known fact. It's wrong, according to the Maine Lobster Marketing Collaborative. Quote, lobsters by nature are not monogamous and do not pair for life. A dominant male will actually mate with multiple females during encounters that last days to weeks. Zang!
Damn.
There you go. A literal example of love on the rocks. This saying about lobsters predates Friends, so the writers didn't just come up with it, but it might be the most well-known comment about lobbies of all time.
I thought penguins mate for life.
Swans, I think.
Swans?
Or geese.
Oh, I hate geese.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, they're hostile.
A website called Big 7 Travel asked its readers to rank all 50 states according to how friendly people are. 6 of the 10 least friendly states are in the Northeast. New York, named the rudest state in America, followed by Arkansas, Delaware, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Washington, New Hampshire, Nevada, Florida. Hi, everybody. And Rhode Island. No single area of the country dominated the friendliest states. According to the results, Minnesota, top of the heap. The rest of them, Tennessee. I've heard good things about Tennessee. I've heard good things about people in Tennessee.
Nashville.
South Carolina. Texas, Wyoming, Texas, and people are nice in Texas. Wyoming, Indiana, Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Hawaii.
I was just in Houston and College Station. Wonderful people.
Yeah, good folks in there. Do you type faster on your phone or your computer?
Oscar phone. Santana. Phone.
Phone? Phone. Oh, you're in. Oh, you're happy. You're gonna be happy. You're gonna love this. You're gonna love this one. Okay. More than 20% of people under 35 say they're faster on a phone versus just 1% of people over 55.
Ooh. Like me, slow on the phone. Slow on the phone.
Yeah, young people 20 times more likely to say they're good at typing on a phone than older people.
Ah, bigger keys. Bigger keys.
Women are also more likely than men to say they're faster on a phone. I know Carla is. 17% to 11%. So I'm
It's
used
tough
to,
be
the
accurate though on the phone, because you don't want to, like, for, at least for me. It's a quick message, get it out. But it's so easy to mess it up and have like a big grammar issue, and you're like, oh, look, I think I'm an idiot. I need Grammarly for my phone. That's what I need.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're faster on the phone, which means you're young and hard. Thank
young
you.
Young
and
hard.
And now a little something something for all of our listeners. The police in Fairfield, Connecticut. That's a pretty rarefied zip code up there. They made a bunch of arrests last week in an 87-acre field that's a notorious spot where strangers meet up to get it on. Kind of like Something About Mary. These weren't just any strangers, though. The cops made 6 arrests for people getting it on in the field, and their ages were 62, 62, 67, 75, 82, and 85. Hi, Larry. The only woman in the bunch was the 85-year-old. Oh, my God!
Hey, Mike. Larry needs some loving, too. Larry needs some loving.
Oh, my God. The 85-year-old was the only lady. Ooh. She has the same last name as the 82-year-old. We don't know if they're married. Let's hope they're not brother and sister. Ew. Anyway, all of them, 85 to 62, charged with breach of peace, and some were also charged with public indecency. I charged them with being amazing. There you go. All right. Yes, sir. That's it for today. Thank you, Oscar Santana.
Yes.
Thank you to everybody. Don't forget, we are in the middle of our Fruitcake Futures promotion. Buy a fruitcake and you'll get a special collectible. If you buy the bonus package, you get to support our show. The shows in Las Vegas are sold out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I know there's like people out there that are always looking to get rid of some because they can't make it or whatever. So hopefully we'll see all of you that want to be out there in Las Vegas. For Oscar Santana, Rob Spiewak, Matty Masiello, and Ponyboy Matt Bloom, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I can pull a better cartoon out of my ass. Hey, whoa! Wasn't that great,
kid? Good night, Herr Doctor.
Good night, Frau Blücher.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die.